Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Trill. Coming to you live from Flowery Branch, Falcons training camp. Back up here once again. Final day this week for us. We'll be back next week, of course, on Monday. But good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good, man. It's a beautiful, beautiful Thursday up here in Flowery Branch as the Falcons are coming off of a day off.
Yeah.
So you should be crisp and going and everything like that as we, you know, get closer. An actual NFL game is tonight. Now, we know we won't know a lot of the players that are in it, but there is an actual NFL game tonight, Andy. Uh-huh. I saw Georgia start practice today, which is awesome. Speaking of Georgia, saw Jalen Walker rehab and finally got behind what's going on with him. I know Rock came out and said it was a hammy, so we know why he's not out there participating. And, you know, just another day of in the openings, another day, another grind for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep. Good to get a little bit of information on what's going on with Jalen Walker, Falcons' first-round draft pick, who was out there at the beginning of training camp and then missed a couple of days. And, you know, folks had been asked, but no one really committed one way or the other as to what exactly was going on. Like you said, Raheem Morris was able to provide a little bit of an update, dealing with a hamstring, whatever you want to call it, tweak, something, discomfort. So they're going to be very careful with him, obviously. You mentioned that you saw him rehabbing that today out there on the side field, obviously not taking part in the 11-on-11 and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of time between now and when the game matters. Yeah. But, you know, you always hate to see anybody who you're counting on banged up or tweaked or anything like that, and that's where he is right now. But I guess if it's going to happen, let it be now rather than close up to when the games actually matter. But at least good to get a little bit of info on what's going on. Did see some intel as to from what was going on at practice today. Sounds like James Pierce had another pretty good day, pretty active day. Play where he would have sacked Kirk Cousins, had, you know, if sacks were allowed. And then Rook, I guess, on the very next play got to Kirk too. So good to see maybe a little bit of fire from the pass rush today. And then at the very end of the 11-on-11 session, I heard Penix had looked really good throughout the day, but they picked him in the end zone.
Right.
Natron Brooks got him in the end zone, so a win for the defense on that one too.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to a point where you kind of know what each other are doing, and it's going to get worse next week because, you know, that's when you start trying to work on stuff because you're going against your teammate. Then, obviously, the week after that, you get an opportunity to test out against somebody else. But, yeah, get all those interceptions and sacks and everything out the way if you're the offense. If you're the defense, make sure you carry those things on into the season because we all know the Falcons would all in on their biggest deficiencies, and it does seem like, I mean, James Pierce, 27, is popping in. Like, it seemed like every single day this young man is doing something. And, you know, you go back to before his last year, Tennessee, this dude was rated as a top five draft pick in some people's
look.
And then some other stuff comes out, and we know how that can be depending on who you want to believe, but that can have you falling in a draft and everything like that.
None of it was football related.
That's what I'm saying. And so you look at where the Falcons were. We talked to Terry after the draft, they were going to draft him at 15.
Yep.
But you can pass on Jalen Walker. That's why they went back and did everything they could to get back up and get James Pierce, who is right now seems like he is just, you know, he's shining right now. And what you want to see them flash, because as we spoke on Monday, this team needs all of them to play. It's not one of the things where because you're going to grow and learn on a job, but you can't be like slow learning on a job. You know, we need these young guys here to make immediate impacts. We need them to pay dividends immediately. This ain't no pick for the future, nothing like that. You know, we'll slow roll him because he can sit behind a vet and learn and play sparingly. No, these dudes got to play a lot.
Yeah, well, because it's not just one guy, you know. Like, when you have one first-round draft pick and it's like, well, we'd really like to get a lot of production from this rookie this year, that would bolster the defense. Now, man, half the defense is rookies or second-year guys.
Yeah.
And a lot of the second-year guys didn't play their rookie year. So you're going to have to get production from young guys that have never done it before, not just because you'd like to see it from a young guy who was drafted high, but because if the defense is going to be any good, it's going to be in part because young guys are a part of it, because half the defense is going to be young guys.
But
so you got to have it.
I thought about this. Like, this class and then last year's class, they got to save their jobs. These two class, because they're so vital in what goes on with this team.
Absolutely right.
Quarterbacks, the pass rushers, the defensive line, like you said, they are such a big part of saving these people's job.
Yep.
You need them to produce, like, again, like we said just a second ago, quick, fast, and in a damn hurry. So, there it is.
There it is. if we're going to be here next year and it's the same people in charge, it's going to be because those young guys balled out.
Yeah.
One guy that's also going to have to, and I don't think anyone has any doubt that he will, is going to join us in this hour. That's Drake London.
Yes.
Drake London, when practice is over, is going to stop by and be our Falcons live interview here as we broadcast from Flowery Branch. He's, I don't even know what the right term for it is. I feel like guys that maybe haven't produced, Drake just got graded as a 91 on Madden, Abe wanted us to say on the radio. We said it.
I wish you could see the disdain I have for you.
People can hear it. People can hear the silence.
Yes. I wish you could see my eye roll up under my sunglasses.
That's why I always pause before I read what Abe puts on his phone in front of me. I've Ron Burgundy'd that one. Yeah. I just dove right into it because I assumed we're talking about Drake. I figured it was like an important Drake-related thing, and then I started saying it. And I guess it was because, you know, there's people out there that like that kind of stuff. Anyway, Drake London has been so productive in his 3 years and was so good last year. It feels like he's not being talked about in this training camp to me.
That's
like
good.
I guess it's fine. But like the Kyle Pitts, like he's got to do it, whatever, like the hype or however you want to put it, angst. The Penix, of course, I get it, the rookies. But like Drake London and Bijan Robinson are the two best players on the team at this point.
And we know this. So why do – I mean, I think it's one thing when you talk about the Kyle Pitts of it and everything like that because of the, people depending on him and trying – because he keeps on saying bounce back and all those different things.
Is it the unknown or the unproven that's more fun to talk about or
yes,
what?
No doubt about it. Everybody loves something new. You know, this guy's flashy. This guy's doing this. You're talking about the two most consistent players as far as a skill position player. Drake don't need you to talk about him.
Yeah,
Drake,
I want
Drake,
to, though.
Because Drake's going to go out there.
Can
and
I?
Do, Drake, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Drake's going to go out there and do what he does. Bijan is going to go out there and do what they do because they're great players. But, yeah, the thing with Drake, he's just a Mr. Consistent.
Uh-huh.
He is. And you know that, you know, it's not flashy. It's not, you know, but it's productive.
I think it can be flashy, though. I think that's what I'm getting at is, like, it has been consistent, but it's been consistently growing.
Yes.
It's not like a guy who just has, like, 65 catches each of the last 3 years and 900 yards. He's grown every single year in terms of his production. Last year, he had 100 catches.
Yeah.
He was top five in the NFL in terms of yardage. He was top three in the NFL in terms of targets. In the three games that Penix started, he had 39 blanken targets.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. And I just think, like, because of the frustrations of what last year ended up being and because of all the question marks you have with some of the young guys this year, I just feel like the guys that should be getting the marquee conversations are kind of in the background because you know what they're going to be and you want to talk about the unknown. I just think on a day where we're going to talk to Drake London in about half an hour or so, it's good to sit and be like, you know what, like, you can raise the bar on expectations for him too.
I mean,
like,
he
could, if he does what he's done each of the last 3 years, which is do better than the year before.
Yeah.
Drake London's going to be first team all pro potentially this year.
And I think that when you look at what you just said, does he have the potential? Yeah, there are a lot of great wide receivers in this league. There's tiers to this thing. And he is, and we talk with top tier guys. We can always talk about Jamar and Jefferson and those guys like that. And then there's others and others. He's coming up the other ladder, you know, and he's becoming an ascending player at his position. In this league, and he's still such a young player.
Can he lead the league in receiving?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes, he has that kind of ability. I think he has that kind of ability.
I think it's important to say that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he is, in my opinion, and I think I said this last year, he is a number one wide receiver in the league. Not on this team.
Yeah, not just the Falcons' number one receiver.
That's not the Falcons' number one. He's a number one type receiver. He has the ability.
It's like we talk about with pitchers in baseball. It's like, is he an ace or is he the number one on your staff?
Yes.
There's a difference.
Yes.
Not a lot of aces. Drake London could legitimately be an ace at the wide receiver position.
That's how the ability that this young man has. Now, they got to give him the rock, and they do a lot. They do a good job of
they
moving him around and everything like
and
that.
And they do a good job of throwing it to
and
him.
And the thing with it, we all know, when you see him, he's a big-ass dude. He's a big dude, former basketball player, so he has that leaping ability. His hand-eye coordination, catch radius. I mean, you have everything. And he's faster than I think a lot of people think he is because he's a big receiver. I told you the first time I saw him run routes, I was like, damn, he moves like a smaller receiver when you're talking about getting in out of breaks, pivoting out of routes and things like that. His biggest thing is just continue to get better. He's been everything that when you drafted him, you're talking about the Falcons, when you drafted him where they drafted him, he's been every bit as good as getting better. And you think about, you compare with his class in, who am I thinking of?
I think Olave was in that class. Garrett Wilson was in that class.
Guys like that. Yeah. I mean, you put him right there. People know seem to know more about Garrett. You know, if he's more of a household name for some reason, more than Drake.
I think Ohio State, maybe.
Ohio State, all those different
things. The drama of the Jets, potentially. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is.
But, you know, I think that, you know, again, if he stays consistent to where he is, you're talking about a season that in any other season could garner some kind of all-pro honors, some kind of Pro Bowl honors, those type of things like that. You got to get to a point with him. Those numbers put him in that, you know, because all that's still a damn popularity contest.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like Jamar Chase had a year for no year.
I think part of it, too, when you talk about those guys, I think Garrett Wilson has been the beneficiary of this, both being in New York, but also Aaron Rodgers brings a lot of attention to the team, right?
It's a low-key team.
It has been.
Yeah, it's low-key
it has been because the quarterbacks that he's caught passes from the first couple of years were Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder.
Right.
Nobody's paying attention to that. No. Now, last year it was Kirk Cousins, so there might have been a little bit more attention, but if Penix goes out there and throws the ball over the field and lights things up, they're going to get a lot more attention. I think that's part of it. I think part of it is they've just sort of been out of sight, out of mind. Not that the Jets have been any good, but there's been some headline guys there, and they're in New York City, so they get a little bit more attention for whatever reason than other teams do. I just think that's part of it. I feel like it's not just here. I feel like Drake London's almost one of the best-kept secrets in the NFL right now.
Yeah, man.
Dude had 1,270 yards receiving last year and 100 receptions and 9 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And the story of the year, obviously, is what happened with Kirk Cousins, so it almost feels like it doesn't get talked about. And then when people do kind of key in on what the Falcons could be this year, obviously they talk about the quarterback. And then you talk about the unknown with Pitts. And then you talk about Bijan because he's such an explosive player and people are familiar with him. I would just caution folks. Don't sleep on Drake London.
Yeah.
Drake London has the ability to be as explosive and as impactful on this team as anybody on the roster.
Yeah. You know how I am about the sleep word. And you know, I think, you know, he is team's number one priority when you talk about the pass game. The team's number one priority is Bijan. Let's call that what it is. When you face the Falcons offense, that is your number one is the shutdown number 7. And in the passing game, it's Drake. And what Drake's got to get to, and they don't do it like they used to and everything like that as far as demanding double teams. That's what the great receivers do. They demand double teams. And even when they're double, great receivers find ways to get open from the double team.
Yeah.
And so when he starts garnering that kind of coverage and everything like that, where, you know what, but that's where other guys have got to step up. Other guys have got to help him. Other guys have got to be like, okay, I know we double team him. You got to eat if they're doing that.
It'll benefit all those other guys too. I also just think, like, you know, if we're going to do the thing of, and we haven't really done a lot of it because I think individual credibility or individual accountability is the main thing when it comes to these players. But there's a lot of, like, revisionist stuff now going on with Kyle, and it's like, well, he did catch passes from this guy, and he was a part of it. Well, so was Drake. Drake was in those offenses, too.
Yep.
Drake caught passes from those quarterbacks, too.
You know, the great thing about it, he's been healthy, too.
He has.
He's been healthy.
But he's been productive in those situations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those things that people are sort of listing as excuses why maybe Kyle Pitts hasn't been up to the standard you thought. Drake London's been up to the standard you thought.
He's a better player.
In the exact same situation.
Better player.
So credit where credit's due, right?
Yeah,
like, to put stuff together like that, to put years on top of years on top of years now like that, in that situation, this will be the first time, and it's not even the first time, because next year it would have to be the first time, assuming Penix is the starting quarterback next year too. He hasn't had the same starting quarterback back-to-back seasons since Keaton Slovis.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's USC.
Yeah.
And that ain't saying a lot.
It's a while ago.
Yeah,
it's a while ago.
And that ain't saying a lot.
Yeah, hopefully we can change that next year when it's Penix and Penix. All right. This hour of the midday show, the first hour of the midday show, is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back and tell you what's trending here on a Trillville Thursday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You can already see it. You can already feel it within the weight room. You can feel it in the meeting rooms, the excitement, the enthusiasm. You can feel it from the coaching staff, particularly the new coaching staff that's been involved with everything. And then, like, it goes to the field. You know, like, I think the office talked about a little bit. It's kind of like a little bit of a corny rah-rah. But it becomes authentic. It becomes who they are. It becomes what they become. It becomes, like, contagious throughout the building. And you got to love it. And, like, I can already feel that edge. I can already feel that, you know, that 1-2. I can already feel that hunger, that desire, that obsession to go out there and be the best version of themselves.
That's Raheem Morris saying what you want to hear, right? All the right stuff. Probably a similar version of that being said by most coaches around the league as training camp is underway, which is good. It would be crazy if it wasn't.
Yeah,
I don't know. Some of these guys,
they could take it or leave it. I think that, that we're going to be one of those people that we're going to be at the bottom of the South.
I don't know. Yeah. There's no real energy. No one's really hungry to be here. So, yeah, all the right stuff. And he's also right. Like, he admitted it in the middle. I think it kind of gets a little corny, rah-rah, if you hear it enough times, which –
we do.
Again, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Here's what I know. Here's what is different to me. I had to take a shuttle bus here today. Because the parking lot is so full.
Yeah.
And I got here a little later than normal because we had orientation open house thing at Lily's elementary school this morning, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Just so fun. She's so excited. Kindergarten starts on Monday. It's going to be very cool. But I got here a little later than normal, and the lot was full. And so I pulled up to where you turn in, and the lady was like, yeah, lot's full, but there's an overflow lot down the road. So I was like, all right. So I turned around, went down, made my turn, kept going, made another turn. There it was. And that's never happened before.
Yeah.
So, look, I hope the Falcons are awesome, and I assume everyone's out there giving their all. But people are fired the hell up for them. I know that.
Yeah, man.
I know fans are very excited because they're here in numbers that I've never seen before.
Yeah, I'm parked right here by the gate when you go out.
Where are you parked?
I'm parked right here, right here. Like, you know how you come into the facility right here, the gate?
And they reserve some spots for
– No. What happened was is that the young lady out here said – I was turning to the right where you were. She's like, are you here to watch Falcons practice? I said, no, I'm here to work. And she was like, oh, okay, well, go ahead and take a left right there. Your name is on the list. That's all she told me.
Right.
That's it. I said, work. She said the other word.
Oh.
I said, I'm here to work.
I just, because you showed me where you were parked.
Yes.
And there was a really nice sign there right next to your car.
No, it wasn't.
Did you see what it said?
No, it's not.
You didn't see that
No,
sign?
I didn't see nothing. All I know is that the guy pulled me in. It was two parking spaces and parked right here. So I'm assuming that the other parking space was for you.
I would assume the same.
Yeah.
And no so one said anything to me.
And so I'm trying to call you.
Yeah.
And I know you don't answer the phone. You don't answer the phone or you don't text while you're driving.
I don't know.
And so I was like, well, hell, he's probably already here.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I got to ride the shuttle bus with a lot of fans, and that was really fun.
Right.
It's been a while since I've been on one of those buses, which was cool. But, yeah, it would have been nice to know that there was media parking available for the media members.
Hey, dog, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Of
course you will.
Yeah, that's fine with me. You know what I mean? But I just wanted to let you know.
As an active member of
the – I ain't active in nothing, all right? I'm actively chilling.
I was actively parking two miles from here.
Yeah, I'm actively chilling.
Uh-huh.
Hey, but that's your mama?
Actively
parking. Where's she going?
Right next to the media parking sign.
Oh, I was like, I got to see Mama G.
It was a nice spot, though, you got.
It was, dog. It was nice, too, dog. Man, got to walk
like
the right
first
in.
Spot.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, I can even poke.
Like VIP.
Yeah, man. I'm just sitting right there chilling. Hopefully, it cool off because, because it's going to be like a damn sauna when you get in there.
Well, I'm going to request a ride to the – I don't think the shuttle bus is still going to be running at 2 o'clock, so I could walk the 2 miles to the lot. Anyway, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is it's never been this crowded out here before.
Yeah, man.
Again, that doesn't mean the Falcons are going to win the Super Bowl or anything, but it means the Falcons are going to be very well supported this season,
which is good. And I think, the expectations and just, the newness of this year, quarterback and everything like that, it's always something that gets fan bases excited. We always talk about it. This fan base deserves some good stuff, man. It's been a long time. It's been a long time, dog.
More than really anyone.
Yep, it's been a long time.
Really more than anyone does. Apparently, Penix just hit Drake London for a big gain in some 11-on-11. So he had thrown an interception at the end of the last session. So nice to see a big connection with Drake. And we'll talk to Drake London here in about the next 10 minutes or so. The Braves lost the game in extra innings. Yesterday lost the series. Great pitching performance.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to the Braves, Joey Wentz. This is what life is like. Let's hear the way it ended.
Keep him around.
Salvi lines it into right center field, and that didn't take very long. Here comes MJ Melendez, and the Royals win it. 1-0 in 10
Yeah, courtesy of Royals Radio there. Two pitches into the 10th inning, Deisbel Hernandez allows the hit. Like, there's a guy on second base.
Yep.
He's going to score. You're on the road. You lose.
They had a guy on third, right?
Braves did?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, they went out. 1 for 11.
They had a guy on third with no outs.
Yeah. one for 11 with runners in scoring position yesterday. So, again,
why can't all baseball games be at 2 o'clock?
Yeah,
it was nice. All 2 o'clock. Go back to the days of Wrigley, man.
Yeah, back when there was no lights.
Yeah, play all afternoon game.
It was really nice to not have to worry about that at all last night. Be able to kind of surf and watch some of the other stuff that was on TV. But, yeah, I don't know.
What y'all on, man? I told you, I was telling Abe that the Hunting Wives, that's some freaky deaky stuff, man.
It's called what?
Hunting Wives.
Hunting Wives?
Yeah, man.
What are they hunting for?
Wives?
Oh, they're hunting for wives?
Yeah, man. It's some freak. Don't watch it with no kids. Don't watch it with no kids.
I saw that the Atlanta Dream won last night.
Yes, they did,
they
man.
Beat the Dallas Wings.
Nice bounce back.
88-85. Alicia Gray had 15 points in the win, which is great. Also saw Atlanta United lost.
Yeah.
Now, this is a different competition, but the same result.
Yeah, basically.
They lose 3-1 to Necaxa in League's Cup, and now it'll be very hard for them to advance on in the League's Cup tournament.
Just watching.
So, there you go.
Just watching that game and watching and looking and seeing all them damn red seats.
You watched it?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I mean, I watched it on Twitter.
But, I mean, it was on.
Yeah, I watched it on Twitter.
That's good for you.
Yeah, man. But it's depressing and
not
going
to lie
like
to people,
that.
I didn't.
Yeah, I watched it on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, they played the clips. I saw the three goals that were not scored.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whatever. It's almost over. How many more games?
Is it, though?
I mean, how many more
there's
games?
There's like a little more than 12.
We got 12 more games.
That's a lot, man.
Can they still make the playoffs?
No.
What up, fellas?
I mean, I think mathematically they're as alive as the Braves are, probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A couple forgettable seasons between both Atlanta United and the Braves. They're kind of in the similar situation, though, as far as, like, selling guys off for whether it's money in Atlanta United's case. I know they've made some signings as well for the future. With the Braves, the trade deadline is today at 6 o'clock.
I know that people keep talking about Marcel. Are we anticipating Marcel being traded?
I'd be shocked if he's not.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I keep hearing it and everything like that. I don't think he's going to be moved.
Oh, how come?
Because what he's going to be moved for? Like, what is – I mean, he has the – what is it called, 10-5?
He can waive the trade. That's true.
Yeah, and so –
that's true.
Like, if I'm Marcel –
I guess if he just wants to be here.
Depending on if we're going to – if you're going to send me somewhere where they're in the playoffs and all those different things,
right.
Okay, but if you're going to send me to Miami,
well, but
I
don't
been
think,
there.
But I don't think anybody's going to trade for Marcel Ozuna unless they're trying to add, like, a bench bat, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying – that's what I'm saying. But if it's not somewhere you want to go – then, but I don't know. I mean, it's still a lot of time, and it could be one of those things. Because everybody, it seemed like everybody was obviously the third baseman from
Eugenio Suarez
went to Seattle. That was the big deal.
Four home runs.
And then, but now it seems like everybody's trying to get pitching. You see some closers. Phillies got the big time closer and everything like that. So it seems like everybody's trying to get more pitching today. As they rush for the trade deadline, you might see a couple other position players, including Marcel Ozuna. I just remember back in May, and we were like, well, can't wait for the trade deadline. We're going to get some help in here, baby. We're going to get a starting pitcher, maybe a shortstop. Yeah.
No.
Trade deadline's here.
Trade deadline's here. Yeah.
You know when it got fast? It came so fast when everybody started dropping like flies.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like – because as their players started dropping, so did the wins.
We talked a lot more about trades in May this year than we did at the trade deadline this year, which, you know, obviously we know why. There's no reason to trade to add right now because
they got something.
The season's toast. Yeah, they got they got Tyler Kinley.
Yeah, man. Yesterday. You know about Tyler? Tyler's highly thought of around league circles.
I have heard that.
Yeah.
His peripherals.
Yeah,
that's what Grant said to us yesterday.
He thought very highly
of some of his peripheral numbers.
Now, they got rid of old boy. What's the
De Los Santos?
Yeah, that dude.
Oh, and Montero. Okay.
Yeah, that guy too. They got rid of both of them. So I mean, I don't. Are they better without them?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they're not better. They're like the idea of them being better is they need to be better next year.
Yes.
That's the best thing that happened for the Braves in the last 48 hours is finding out that Ronald Acuña was only diagnosed with a grade 1 calf strain.
I still like letting him play.
No, I mean, it's not really about whether or not he'll be healthy by the end of the year, right? Because it's now 2 or 3 weeks. Now it's just about the risk of do you even run him out there with a month, five weeks left in the season?
Let Ron Acuña chill.
Right.
All right, let Ronald cool. But make sure we keep an eye on him. Don't let – yeah, because, you know, Ronald is – he's ultra –
he'll put on a mustache and play for Venezuela.
You know what I'm saying? Do not let him play no baseball. Do not let him play no baseball.
He'll do like – what was Bobby Valentine, right, when Bobby Valentine put on the goofy glasses?
What a character that was. And yeah. The fact that he really sat his ass in that dugout.
He snuck back into the dugout in a game that he got ejected from.
He snuck back in the damn dugout, man. Which is one of the wildest things.
It's one of the all-time funniest things I've seen.
One of them. Are you serious? Is he really back in the dugout?
There he is. He thought we wouldn't notice.
What a dork.
That's great.
What a dork.
It was great. But yeah, I don't know. That's about all there is to say there about the Braves. They'll probably make some more trades before the end of the day today, whether it's Iglesias or a couple of the other bullpen guys, or Ozuna or whatever. I will say this: like, if it is the end for Ozuna, what a great run he had. Especially with the middle part where it really got bad.
Yes.
Like, I tried to cut him 100 times. Yep. I tried to leave him in every National League city.
Stuck with him.
And obviously part of the struggles were stuff that he was going through off the field, self-inflicted stuff that he was going through off the field. But then he worked back through it, and he was, I mean, honestly, the course of the last 2+ years, best hitter they had, really.
Yep.
Like, consistency-wise.
Yep.
Because he played pretty much every day, and obviously this year he got hurt and wasn't as productive, but pretty good run for a guy that they picked up a couple years back. All right, this hour brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back. Hopefully Drake London's going to join us here in the next few minutes as practice should be wrapping up for the Atlanta Falcons as we are broadcasting live from Flowery Branch, Falcons training camp. Drake London's going to be today's live interview. Hopefully that'll be next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, broadcasting live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. Practice is over, which means a Falcons player has walked over to sit down and chat with us, and the timing is perfect. And we've had a bunch of interviews throughout camp so far. No one showed up right during the break, right on time for their interview, quite like Drake London. So, Drake, we appreciate that, man.
Thank you guys for having me on. I'm good.
Oh, no, thank you for coming on. And we were talking about you in a couple of segments before this and your growth, and we're going back to last season as far as the growth that you've – going into your fourth year, you've gotten better every single year. How do you add on to what you did last year? Because last year it was one of the quietest, spectacular years that nobody talks about.
Yeah, I think that's my goal every year coming into a new season is just to grow in whatever aspect I can for the team and for myself as well. So I strive to be everything, whether that be team goals and self goals, you know what I'm saying? So that's the biggest thing for me is just growth. If I can grow in a year and do a little bit better than I did last year, then I know I'm doing my part.
Was there anything specifically this offseason that you said, all right, I feel really good about this, I feel really good about this, this is a part of my game that I really want to focus in on and improve?
I think route running, just honing in on that and really owning the routes that we have in this offense right now, I think that was the biggest thing. And then just getting together with the guys and having fun and building that chemistry.
What was the biggest adjustment for you? Because we were talking about last year, we'll get on this year, but they played you a lot more inside. You know, you run those hook routes and everything like that. Was that something that you worked on, or was it like the playbook's there? Hey, Drake, we need you to learn this position going down the stretch.
Yeah. No, I didn't really see that as an adjustment at all. I mean, that's how I made it on the field at USC.
Okay.
So, my coach told me, he said, hey, do you want to move inside? And I said, I better not have my hand in the dirt.
Right.
You know? And so that's kind of how it went. Right. And that's how I touched the field as a true freshman. And I'm comfortable being in there. You could put me anywhere, and I'll try to go do the best that I possibly can.
Drake London joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. In the final three games of the year last year, Michael Penix was a starter, obviously. You had 39 targets. It's a lot. I'm sure you don't mind that. That's a lot of targets. Mm-hmm. Is there any way that a pace that can project out for a whole season?
We're just going to have to see. I'm not going to speak too much on that. That's just how the games went in the last three games, you know. And we plan on doing that and keep on doing that with everybody, KP, Mooney, Ray, everybody, you know. Everybody's going to get fed. So that's what I'm really excited for about this season is everybody's going to touch bread.
How has it been so far with him being the QB1 and knowing that Michael, coming into the season, Michael's going to be the starting quarterback? And I'm talking about it happened as soon as basically when the season was over, you knowing him. So how has it been this offseason growing with him, especially because of how young of a player he is?
Yeah, it's really, really fun. I mean, you see the potential. And then, too, I say we have, like, in the fire reps together, you know, and with the team. and it just shows the potential of what we could possibly be with those reps before season starts, you know. So we're all excited, and he's a hell of a player and a hell of a person, so we're excited to have him.
How much does that help? Because, I mean, obviously last year you come into the year, you and Cousins had not played NFL games together before, but it went well. The year before that with Desmond, you did have that at the end of the year, right? A couple starts at the end of the year you played. And then last year with Penix for three, how much does it help kind of knowing him a little bit more, like you said, in the fire, on the field, as this season gets ready to start?
Yeah, I mean, you could bank reps on this practice field all you want, but in the game, when you bank reps like that, I mean, it's kind of hard to say no or to not see the potential of what it could possibly be, you know? I mean, that's just ball players going out there and playing. You know what I'm saying? And if you make a mistake, you're not getting that back. Coach can't say rerun that play. So that's why I say, like, when you're in the fire and you have those bank reps, I think it's very, very good.
The offensive line, the leadership comes from probably Jake. He's the oldest and everything like that. But as far as you guys' skill position, are you talking about Kyle, Bijan? It's a very young group. How do you view yourself as in a leadership role with all those guys? You're still young, but yet you've been in this system. You've been in this team going into your fourth year.
Yeah, football years are dog years.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, there's still people coming in who are older than me and things like that, but I feel older than them in a football world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But honestly, this offense is cool into the sense that every single one of us holds each other accountable, and there's no true, like, oh, I'm the head honcho, I'm the leader of this group. It's I'm going to help every single person. Whether I see you slacking or you're doing a good job, I'm going to give you that pat on the butt and say, let's keep on going. You know what I'm saying? So everybody holds each other accountable.
Drake London joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, live in Flowery Branch, Falcons training camp. Practice done for the day. Obviously still a lot more work to be done with the guys, but the field portion of it over with. When Michael Penix was asked about the offense and the potential about a week ago, he said, we want number one in everything. We think we can be the number one offense in the NFL. When you hear your quarterback or hear that your quarterback said stuff like that, how does that make you feel?
Amazing. He's striving for greatness, and so are we. So why can't we think big, and why can't we strive for great things?
How do you view, because, you know, how do you view yourself amongst your peers in the league?
You talking about wide receivers?
Yes.
I view myself as one of the tops to be out there.
Agree.
It's going to take a little while for other people to see.
Agree.
I may be unorthodox to some people. I may not look the part always, you know, but I get the job done, and I do a lot more than other people see that's on the stat sheet. I'd be blocking my ass off. Excuse my language.
That one's okay.
That's okay.
That one's okay.
I use that one.
Yeah, yeah, that one's okay.
Yeah.
As long as you don't go the F route like Bergeron did on Tuesday.
No, but real deal, I'd be blocking my tail off, and I'd be doing the grimy work that a lot of people don't see on the stat sheet.
Right.
And to me, that's more valuable than just catching passes or doing any of that.
You said unorthodox. What do you think is unorthodox about the way that you play wide receiver?
I think maybe people don't understand my abilities and what I can do. It may not look like I'm getting separation, or it may not look like I'm doing much, but I'm still getting open.
Right.
And that's the main point of the game.
Well, that's the people that read those damn scout reports and all those different
yeah,
things.
Yeah, no, it's
and,
cool. Oh, he's just adds fuel
because
to the fire.
I tell them all the time, when I first, I was like, he's a big kid. When I first saw you, and then I saw you run your routes, I was like, okay, he doesn't run routes like a bigger receiver. You can get in and out of your break. That's why I was asking you about working in the slot, running those different option routes and everything. When you are in your off season, just like you did, not over here, when you're in the off season, what are you working on as far as just physically trying to get yourself ready outside of just catching footballs?
Yeah, like I said, like route running. I work with TJ Huzmazada.
Okay.
Cool.
It's a big part of my off season training. So I get with him and we work on a lot of stuff, I'm a bigger person, so moving in shorter spaces, you know what I'm saying? Being able to maneuver in there. And then, two, back to the unorthodox thing, is I'm a basketball player in football pads. A lot of these guys are strictly football players.
Right.
So that's how I view myself, and that's how I play.
Young defense. We've talked a lot about some of the new additions from the draft. Even guys that were drafted last year are going to be a big part of the defense this year. It's been chippy out there, we've heard, which obviously it's football. But what are your early impressions of some of the young guys that are new to the team?
Yeah, great additions. Watts, Bowman, who else is that? Jalen, JP, all them boys, you know. They're really doing their thing. Even Kobe, seeing glimpses of him finally out there. And then, two, they just have vets out there who really, really want to see them succeed and win, like Jesse, AJ, Mike, all those guys, and freaking Caden, everybody, you know. So they have a good bunch over there, and I think that defense is going to grow into something scary.
Last one for me is, how did you see your offensive coordinator, who was a first-time play caller last year, how have you seen him grow amongst last year and also coming into this offseason?
I seen him grow a lot. He's just figuring out ways to make his ball players make plays. And I think that's something that's special about him. And he's always open. His ears are always open. He's ready to listen and to listen to guys on the field who are actually playing, you know, not just up there in the box watching it like Madden. So I think he's made a big jump and he's ready to go. And he has that fire just like us. He's ready to prove the world wrong.
Drake London here with us on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Final one for me as well. Thanks for the time today. Like you said, football years are dog years, right? Mm-hmm. So year four, you've been through this a handful of times. How is the summer different for you? How is this process? I don't know if it's easier, but how is it different this year than it has been in the past?
It's funny. I was just talking to my coach about that, and it's not – my feet aren't wet now. I'm fully submerged, so I'm in the water now, and I'm fine treading water. So that's how I feel in a nutshell.
We just found out, because you said Madden, 91 rating on Madden.
Huh?
Did you know that?
Yeah,
our producer had to let us know that you were big deal, small deal, no deal.
I don't really play video games.
Dang it. But you know what that means, right? 91 out of 99 is the highest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay. I know that. I could hop on the sticks and play, but I don't play by myself.
There you go, my boy.
Will it be higher by the end of the year, you think?
Hopefully. Yeah, that's what I'm striving for.
That means he's balling.
All right. Balling. We appreciate it, Drake. Thank you. Let's hear it for Drake London, everybody. Thank you. Drake London hanging out with us here on the Midday Show. Nice enough to stop by after practice and share some insight with us as far as how things have gone thus far, expectations for himself. Fully submerged. Not
fully
just
submerged.
Getting his feet wet. He's swimming now, Randy.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, because he is. I mean, you think about when you're a rookie, you're just trying to learn where to get – how to get around the building.
Where do I park at?
Now
you end up like me, parking 2 miles away from me.
Now he's in a situation where he is the legit number one receiver on this football team.
Yep.
And he is going to be counted on to do more. And as you saw last year, he's capable of doing more. He's capable of being in different positions and moving him around and all those things. So you won't get into game plan mode and you're like, okay, well, he's always going to be to the right when they're in trips. He's always going to be outside receiver. And he's more of – he's more of a prototypical X receiver than I thought he was going to be. But I didn't know too much about him playing in the slot. I knew he could do it. But, you know, he's more of a typical X, that single season, that single side receiver that, you know what, you got to win.
Yep.
You got to win every single time. And that's what he is, you know, forming his way into. And he talked about it. Like, a lot of people don't know about him. They don't. Like, that's why I asked him, said, you know, you had one of the quietest 100 catch, 1,300 yard seasons that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with the team you're on, obviously. But a lot of it is, you know, that you haven't – they haven't – your name hasn't gotten out there the way it needs to be. And
yep.
I'm not saying it would be like that if he was in another team. But I think a lot of it has to do with quarterback also.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned Garrett. Garrett's been good, solid. Garrett's been 1,000 yards every single year and everything like that. But more than anything, Garrett's had – and he's had that controversy, that those eyes on him because he had the quarterback.
Yeah, and he'll say some stuff from time to time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they were on Hard Knocks. And like you said, he's Aaron Rodgers' teammate. I think that's one of the – if we're doing like – maybe we'll do this closer to kickoff, closer to game one. But if you're doing like storyline predictions for the Falcons in 2025, I think one of the storylines that I predict taking place over the next 5-6 months is Drake London enters the conversation of – and he already views himself here, obviously.
Yeah.
And look, he was fourth in the league in receiving last year.
Yes.
So statistically, he's already here too. But I think he starts getting a lot more conversation and recognition as one of the best receivers
yes.
in football.
I agree with that.
And look, you know, 39 targets in 3 weeks is an average of 13 per game. That'd be awesome, probably.
Yes.
He'd probably
yes.
really enjoy
yes.
that. He would have led the league in targets by like 50 if
yeah.
that projected out throughout the year. I think it was Jamar Chase who led the NFL in targets last year at like 175.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. Even before those final 3 weeks where the targets were off the charts, he was third in the league in targets. They threw him the ball a ton
yeah.
of times last year. Like, they really believe in him and want to get the ball in his hands, which you understand. I just feel like with consistency comes recognition, but also with winning.
Yes.
And you know,
100%.
It's not his fault, but the team's been underwhelming the first 3 years of his career. I think, at least I hope, that changes this year too.
Yeah, but you said that, like, Jamar Chase didn't ain't damn winning and everything like that.
True.
But you already know who he is. He
yeah.
came into it, and the quarterback and all those different things.
And he won so big in college.
And, yeah.
And
so,
then they kind of won early, right?
Because I know – yeah, they did. Now, I knew that –
was he on the Super Bowl team?
Yes, he was.
He was. So,
yes,
okay.
Was.
So, they
he
won.
Was going to catch a game-winning touchdown if it wasn't for damn Aaron Donald sacking
right,
Joe.
Because right,
remember,
right.
he shook the hell out of Ramsey.
yes.
but and that's the thing about it. You go back to when Drake was drafted. We knew that – that Drake was projected as a first rounder. Mm-hmm. But we also heard of all the other receivers more than him.
That is a big part of it.
And then he was coming off the leg.
He was coming off of an injury.
Yeah, he was coming off of an injury. So we didn't know. So when said Atlanta Falcons select with eighth pick Drake London, a lot of people were like, what?
Right.
Garrett Wilson's still there.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson's there. Olave, the whatever the other names that were, you know, from teams that year it had more success.
Yeah.
That's crazy to say, too, because he played at USC. You know what I mean? It's not like he was at some anonymous football program. But, yeah, his final year, I don't know if it was his senior year, if it was his junior year, doesn't matter, his final year at USC – he was on track to put up gaudy
numbers.
Like, he was probably going to set program records at wide receiver that year. He only played eight games, and then he got hurt, and that was that. He went to the draft, and the rest is history. But, yeah, I mean, I think that there's a number of different factors that sort of play into the national conversation surrounding Drake being as quiet as it is. I think him being just kind of a soft-spoken,
and
humble guy is a part of it too.
And I know when you're
not out there barking.
When you're around him, he is just – he's just a chill dude, man. He's got that California cool about him, you know. And
definitely.
He isn't one of those dudes – I don't want to say look at me because I hate that. I used to talk crap when I made a first down, throw the ball at you, and all that other stuff. So I'm not –
yeah, but why wouldn't you?
I'm the last one to sit up there. He's humbled and plays the game the right way.
Nobody
gives a damn about that.
On this show, you won't hear us –
Nobody don't give a damn about that.
And you're playing it the right way.
Yeah, right way is production. And that's what he that's what he has done. And hopefully it continues to be. Again, I wish we could get a chance to talk to Zach, because I would like to know Zach Robinson. And I know that last year we got to talk to him. I don't know if during the season how it works if we'll get to talk to assistants again.
I bet we will.
But,
at some point.
How have you grown as a coordinator? Because there's a big difference between year one and year two. What did you learn about yourself? Did you learn, you know, that I can't run 11 damn personnel all the time?
I hope. Learned that. I hope that's part of the learning process.
Yeah.
Was, hey, if you guys want to wait, we'll be done. We'll be going to break in like 30 seconds. We'll grab a picture. Sorry, that was specifically for them, but everyone heard it because that's the kind of show we are.
Yeah, man, we let you in.
Yeah, we let
inside.
You in. We pull the curtain back and we show you what's under there. It's under there. That's where the good stuff's at.
There you go.
Exactly.
Just can't let that. You just
couldn't take.
We just couldn't go to break.
Nope, couldn't go to break.
Yep.
Especially with a bunch of kids around, had to do something weird like that. Awesome. Yep. All right, we'll come back
and get to break.
I can't help myself. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle. Kick off the noon hour. Shout out to Drake London once again for hanging out with us after practice. A great conversation. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.